Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday night, and this is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee, and I'd like to start out by thanking my guests from last week. You know, I found in the summer we have a harder time keeping guests because we'll have them booked 2 weeks in advance, and you know, the weather's good, you get to work outside, the kids got something else going on, so we lose guests sometimes. So last week I just had Wayne Blessing on, and he is with Midnight Burn Barbecue Team, he and Kim, and they also have Flat Rock Wood Room there in North Carolina. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, really enjoyed my visit with him. And then I had actually a couple extra callers in, which worked out great. So, you know, all in all, good show. Really appreciate Wayne's time and the people calling in. I don't usually get call-ins on my show. So it was perfect timing, I must say. Also, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the show on Friday night, I was the guest host for the Friday Night Lights show, and I did it live from Fernandina Beach. You know, anytime that I'm out at a contest, I try to do a show, and this was a different contest. We had a non-sanctioned gig going. I guess it was 35 teams. And the judges were from FBA, Florida Barbecue Association, GBA, the Georgia Barbecue Association, and Kansas City Barbecue Association. So it was a combination of things. Like to congratulate Rescue Smokers coming off their big Barbecue Pitmaster win. They came down to Florida, and I got the pleasure of going out with them and the Budmeister gang for dinner on Thursday night. And really enjoyed being with them. Robbie and Raymond took Grand Champion there this weekend, as well as a Team of the Year leader, Jim Elzer, also one of my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q, took Reserve Grand Champion. It was a little different also in that it was on the beach, literally. We were in a parking lot. It was pretty warm over there, beautiful area. If you've never been to Amelia Island, it's one of my favorite places to go and do a decompression time. But they really have changed the island by revamping a lot of the older homes there on the beach. They also had a wing competition that Winks Barbecue won and a steak competition that Budmeister's won. So I think I've included everybody that was there. And I also kind of wanted to, we're not going to have my normal first guest, so I see that my third guest is on the line, so we may end up going to her. But I wanted to talk just briefly about just how much we do really help each other out at these contests. You know, I have a new rig, which is very exciting because I have air conditioning and a potty, which people that know me at a contest, I have a few that I borrow from time to time, and it's nice to have my own and be self-contained. However, I still have a really heavy back door, and I have to get help with it. I can manage the smokers now on the back deck, but that door we're working on a wench for. So I have to get people to help me, and, you know, you really hate to do it, but Boogaloo Barbecue Crew, I'm giving them guys a kudos. Tina and Mark came down from Tallahassee because our buddies over at Blazing Sevens, Steve and Sandy, who live in the Inverness area, very close to me, they just sold their trailer and were signed up to cook the competition, didn't have a trailer to cook with. Now, if I had known it, they could have just run up to my house, which maybe is 20 miles from where they live, and picked up my other trailer and used it. But Boogaloo Barbecue Crew drove from Tallahassee with their trailer so that they ended up doing a combined effort. But, you know, it really does say a lot about being able to pick up the phone and call a buddy. If I were on the road, stranded in just about any city, I'm going to give the barbecue family the same consideration that, you know, my nursery family, when I was in the plant business, I could pick up the phone in any city and somebody would be there to help me. I think if anybody competing in pretty much any association, I think if you picked up the phone and you were stuck somewhere, someone would help you out. So, you know, big kudos to Boogaloo, and you guys got to walk this weekend wearing the Boogaloo colors as opposed to Blazing 7, and we all got a chuckle out of that. I also wanted to thank, I had Jen and her honey from Mac Daddy Smokers. They're one of my sponsors, which I totally appreciate. I love that cooker, and people do come to see it because of the shape of it. It's very different. But Jen and her honey came over to help me out. Billy, the owner of the company, was scheduled to come with his gal pal and help me cook and meet some of the guys, but he wasn't able to come. But Jen did come, and she became dish bitch of the weekend. And you know, I say that lovingly, which we all do, and I have been named that to myself, and helping out at Rub Bagby School. And, you know, you take it fondly because you're there to help. They were there to help, and they were very open. I've got to tell you, Jose got me loaded up before I even knew what happened. I actually left a pan of ribs in the cooker because everything happened so quickly, and it was amazing because I'm not used to being closed up that quick, so it was super great. I really appreciate that and appreciate the sponsorship that Mac Daddy gives me. In July, I think it's the 26th and 27th off the top of my head, Mac Daddy will have another round of their challenge. And I will actually be in Live Oak that weekend. And so I won't be over to the Mac Daddy Challenge helping with some of the guys. But let me tell you about the Live Oak contest. If you are a cook team or you're a judge, I was scheduled to have some surgery this summer, which meant I would have been having surgery right about now, and I would not have been able to cook for Live Oak. So I had emailed Damon months ago and said, you know, I got to get my one judging in to keep up the status of, keep my certification. Can you hook a girlfriend up? So I got on the list of judges, which is really good because that's a tight list. But what was cool about it, Damon sent out, and this is just a tip out there for organizers. Damon sent out a YouTube video basically saying, if you receive this video and you're a judge, then you've made it on the judge list. Here's your list of hotels, and they have it accompanying the YouTube video. Not that he's going to go through the list of hotels, but he does talk about a couple of them. What else is going on in case we want to spend any extra time there? You know me, I want to take my rig up and hang out with everybody, but it's not always appropriate when you're judging, so you have to kind of refrain from that. It was very well put together, and I'm sure everybody that got it was excited. It was like a little personalized greeting card from Damon Woolley, who's the organizer in Live Oak, as well as a competitive team that we all know and love. And so big kudos to you, Damon. It was a great job. I didn't listen to the team video, and I know that I've got that email too because you're still soliciting teams. So that's another reminder that if you are a cook team and are going to be available for the Live Oak contest, you may want to get your paperwork in. They're still looking for a few teams. I want to thank my other sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q. Jim was supposed to have surgery tonight, and his insurance company, which we all know about, and the doctor couldn't work it out. So I'm sorry that he'll be in another week of pain, but congratulations for his reserve this weekend. If you're interested in getting any of Jim's products online, go to sweetsmoke.com, enter the code goddess, and you'll get 20% off. He also has a school coming up the first weekend in August, which I think is the second and third, or third and fourth off the top of my head, and you can sign up online for that. So you may want to check that out. You're not getting discount on the school, but on his product. You can check that out with goddess as your code. RecTech pellet cookers, and I use the cookandpellets.com exclusively for the RecTech. They're calibrated explicitly got to love that. My steak came out beautiful for the contest. Did not win it, but I'll tell you, the grill grates and the Rectech, they were definitely a marriage. Royal Oak Charcoal is another one of my sponsors. I really appreciate them. And then, of course, Pirate 50. He had a really good showing this weekend with his signs. A lot of the barbecue teams have signs. And since I'm in my first slot as of right now and I see that my third guest is on the line, I'm going to go to her. And I kind of have a great announcement. We've got Sherry. Is that you, just to make sure?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so we have Sherry Williams with us. And Sherry has a page on Facebook called Cooking with Love and Passion. And we've got her on to talk about the Macy's Guru Grillin' competition, but I also want to announce that Sherry and I are competitors in the American Grilled series that starts tomorrow, and we happen to compete against each other along with two other gentlemen, one being Daniel Waters, and because the fourth has not announced it yet, Daniel's is a cook from Georgia who's in the GBA, and the other person is a FBA, a Florida Barbecue Association team that I was thrilled to see and thrilled to compete with, but he hasn't announced it yet, so there will be a little surprise out there for any of the Florida people that one of the other barbecue teams did compete in the Pensacola area. So, Sherry, without giving anything away, first off, huge congratulations on the win for Macy's.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm still a little shocked, you know, happy, overwhelmed. I mean, it was such a wonderful experience.
Well, and let's talk about that because, you know, I try to get different food guys along the way, but you're really what I would call, and I do too, you're a contest cook.
Yeah, I'm a contest cook. I'm a home cook, home backyard griller. I'm a home cook. I started competitively entering contests maybe just 3 years ago, so I'm kind of newbie considering some of my foodie friends have been doing it for 20 and 30 years.
Right.
I just started looking for different contests online because my family was always saying, you need to go and start entering some of these contests. I had never even really thought about it. I love to cook. Started cooking my first meal probably when I was 12, but cooked before then. And so I said, why the heck not? And so one of the websites I went to was Contest Cook. And the other one is Contest Central Cook. And both of those are really great websites that have hundreds, literally, during the year, different contests, in this country, international also.
Right.
And not just grilling. I mean, it's just amazing how many contests that are out there. A lot of people just don't know about it. But,
well, I saw the one that I did with Crunchmaster.
Congratulations on that too.
Thanks. I entered 2 months of theirs, and you know they basically it's like a lot of the other contests. They give you a theme. You had to use avocado for one of mine, and the other one was no pasta but a substitute, and you had to use their product. And I got the check for $500 and wasn't even sure what I won for.
That's crazy. And sometimes, yeah, when you enter those contests. You know, it's so many to choose from when you enter them and then all of a sudden you get a check. So sometimes you don't get notification that you actually won or if you're runner-up or whatever, because that's happened to me before too. And when you get the check in the mail, you say, what? I mean, it's really a joy just doing what you love to do and actually, you know, actually winning some money. I mean, we win all kinds of things. I won grills, pots and pans, lots of cash, tons of aprons.
But you know what? I love aprons, uh-huh. And I'm still upset that none of us got to keep the aprons from American Girl.
You know, maybe since we're able to talk about that we're going to be on the show on American Girl, that they'll mail us maybe the aprons now.
Because
they use brand new aprons, I'm pretty sure, with every episode, so
yes.
I want my apron.
I said, I put my name on it. I'll take the slop that I left behind. And I said, would you mail them? I said, I'll send you an envelope. And she said, no.
I know, that's what she said. And so, you know what? I think what we should do is probably email her and let her know we want the apron. I mean, because now that our friends and family know that we're going to be on the show, and I hope everybody tunes in, because Laura can tell you that was intense. It was fun. I mean, I can't even explain how fun. It was so much fun, but very intense. So I have the utmost respect for anyone that's on one of those competitive cooking contest TV shows, because it's totally different. And, you know, when you sit back at home, tell them, just do this, do that, or whatever's going on. It's not funny games. It's intense, but it was very fun. Don't you think it was fun?
It was absolutely fun, and you know the funny thing is, and I know we're both being very cautious not to give anything away, but
right.
one of the funny things is I think most people know from some of the previews it's a chopped type contest, and I hate to compare it because it's another network and everything, but more people are familiar with that, and I watch those cooking shows all the time, and I'll go, "You idiot, why didn't you do this?" And Leon goes, "Wasn't so easy, was it?" He'll be yelling from the other room because he'll hear me talking to the TV, and he's like, "Wasn't so easy now, was it?" You know, so it's like, yeah.
That is so true. My husband, he'll say the same thing. He goes, "Yeah, now you see how it feels." I said, "Yeah," I said, because when you're sitting back playing, you know, the passenger on this, you know, the passenger in the car or, you know, or something like that, it's totally different when you're actually in the moment yourself and, you know, and then, you know, can't talk about, like you said, we can't go into too much detail, but like you said, it's sort of like a chop, so you can kind of get the idea of what type of show it is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then, of course, grilling. It's all about grilling.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a lot of fun. And Daniel's going to come on as we get farther down the road, and we'll probably ask the other gentleman to join us and maybe have all four of us on just to kind of do a breakdown. You know, I've had the guys on from Pitmasters, and we talk about this, and it's an opportunity for us to talk. As you do your interviews, you get 20 seconds on TV, and it's hours of filming.
I hope I don't sound like a complete moron. Because, you know, I'm really kind of dreading looking at the show because I know I look a hot mess.
Well, it was so windy.
That's what I'm dreading. I'm dreading that, oh, my gosh. And then, you know, you're going to have everybody, your family and friends and everybody tuning in. It's like, oh, my gosh. I hope I don't sound stupid, look stupid. But I'm pretty sure I'm all of that. But it's okay. That's just me.
You know what, though, Sherry? Don't you think they do a good job to make people look good, and I don't think they want to make – the only time I really think a show lets somebody look stupid, and anybody that ever watched the Pitmaster series, the guy, and I can't think of his name, he flipped off the judges. He literally flipped them off after they dinked him.
So, number one, I
can't imagine doing that, and if you did do it, you deserve to look like an idiot. That's really the only time.
I'm just talking about just me in general, but most of, you know, my family, they know my quirky kind of personality, too. I'm just being me, I guess. But, the crew there, I mean, we've got to give it to the Travel Channel. The crew and everybody there were just wonderful. And,
absolutely.
I mean, we were all winners just for making it the top, you know, the four, you know, representing, you know, the Pensacola area. That's
right.
Amazing just to make it there of all of the hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of people just in the Pensacola area that applied for that.
Right.
So all winners. I mean, you know, we all like to win and everything like that, and we'll just have to see. But, you know, we're winners anyway. We made the show. There's not too many people that can say that, hey, I'm going to be on a, you know, national cable, you know, TV competitive cooking show, you know, with millions of people in the country. And you've got, it's 13 episodes and four, you know, so that's not a lot of people. Within itself.
The main producer that they referred to as Papa Neil, he, you know, gathered us together, the four contestants, and he says to everybody that, you know, if somebody I loved that he did this. He brings us together and he says, if somebody says to you that you know, oh, man, you were out in the first round, just look at them and say, at least my fat ass wasn't sitting on the couch watching me.
That's right. And that's just, and we all chuckled at that because that's the truth, you know. I mean, it's just an honor to be on that show. And and getting back to the Macy's,
Grilling
Cooper thing. I actually, I saw the contest on Cooking Contest Central. I kind of messed up the name a little bit earlier. But that's the second other premier website that I go to for the cooking contest.
Uh-huh.
And what I did is, it was like probably the last day. I'm such a procrastinator when I enter contests. And normally, I mean, a lot of times it's like 30 seconds out, I mean, before the deadline. And I don't know why I kill myself like that, but the recipe I had, you know, had did maybe like the month before, but I hadn't entered anything because I'm just a photo hog and like to post different, you know, I didn't post a recipe or anything like that. But then I entered it, and then I was in shock when I got, you know, when I was one of the semifinalists. But they had, it was like a regional, I was representing the Southeast region.
Right.
So we got to go to Charlotte. And what it was is six regions, and there were three competitors in each region. And so the one, so I got to go to Charlotte along. In fact, I was competing against one of my really, really good friends, Josie Lanzi. And when we got there, I mean, when we found out that we were, you know, semifinalists, we didn't really say anything to anybody or anything like that until, you know, a lot of that stuff, which you know, is kind of hush-hush. You can't really say anything, you know. And so we got there, and Kat Cora, she was the celebrity judge.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, it's like an Iron Chef. I mean, this woman, you know, she knows her stuff, and I'm thinking, Lord. And, you know, she's originally from Mississippi, but her family's like Greek, so she's got a lot of Greek background. Of course, I fixed lamb, okay? I did these Thai-grilled lamb loin chops, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I was just, you know, wanted to make sure that the temperature was right and,
right.
You know, if I could execute it and everything. And the other judge was Sam Talbert, who was on the second season of Top Chef. He was like the fan favorite. Actually, I was hoping he was going to win that season, but he didn't. But he was the other judge there. And let me tell you, I got to give props to Macy's. That production that they put on was amazing. I mean, everything. It was like a fair set up, you know, in the parking lot, and they had all the chairs. They had cookbooks for everybody. They were giving away all kinds of stuff. Kat Cora had fixed up two dishes that everybody was served in the audience. I mean, it was
really,
it was so nice. And when we got there to the hotel, there was a big basket full of all kinds of goodies in it. And, I mean, it was just amazing. We left, they gave us this big old nice grill tool case. Well, it was actually like an attaché, but it's all grilling equipment and stuff.
Right.
I mean, they treated us like kings and queens. So even if I hadn't won that semifinals, I mean, to make it to the finals to New York City, that was right within itself was good. The semifinals, they all got $500 gift cards from Macy's, you know. So,
that's nice.
I mean, and you got the trip there and, you know, the hotel and everything, but they were just freaking amazing. And so when I won, I was really excited about it. But, you know, sometimes it's not all about winning, but it's just the journey that you go on. And that's what I try to tell a lot of my friends. I mean, that's why I can't take it too serious. You know, of course everybody wants to win, but after the initial shock or whatever, if you don't win something, you just go on. I mean,
yeah, just move on and go.
You're in it for, I'm not in it just to win. I mean, I must, you know, I'm kind of competitive apparently because I share all these contests. However, I'm one that if I don't win or whatever, it's on to the next, and I'm always happy for the person that, you know, that won because sometimes it's just not your time. It's just not your day. And it's not that you didn't produce or have a good recipe. It's just that the judges, everything is sometimes subjective, and you know that. I mean, so it's a kind of hit and miss sometimes.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So when I went to New York, actually flew out on Friday, the competition was on Saturday this past weekend, June 28th, and it was right down on 34th and Broad, right in front of Macy's, right in the middle of the road, hundreds and hundreds of people. I mean, big stage, and oh, my gosh, it was amazing. We had Todd English. He was the main judge and MC, and then Johnny Izunu. He's a really top celebrity pastry chef, you know. And so at the beginning of the competition, because we had to cook our same recipes that we actually won the semifinals with.
Oh, yeah.
And so they kind of critiqued and said what they were looking for. But, you know, if you didn't have it all together then, it's too late. And a lot of times they want to know how many times do you practice this before competition. And for anything, and anybody knows me, I'm not one to practice. I mean, I either have it or I don't have it. I mean, I don't have to practice a recipe 1,000 times just to perfect it. Because once you've made, I mean, if you've made a recipe and it won something, and you, if it's a live cook-off, I mean, you've got all your ingredients there. So, to me, that's just me. So it was six of us up on stage, and actually a couple of the girls, about three of the girls I knew through some of the foodie groups that I'm in on Facebook.
Right.
So we were kind of competing, and a lot of them, they've been doing it, most of them had been doing it a whole lot longer than me. And then we had Jack, Cooking with Jack. He was actually out of California. He took the place of one of my good friends because she wasn't able to come because her husband was sick. I know I'm going on. Just cut me off when you need to. Because I can talk. Okay.
Oh, right. Really? Yes, I hadn't noticed
that. And so Jack is like a hilarious, big old brawly guy, and he's got a lot of YouTube videos, and he's really into this, you know. And it was just fun, but it was so hot, you know, the sun beaming down on your heads. And
right.
Of course, we had 60 minutes, you know, to cook our recipe. What I did, in fact, like is that if you finish before the time limit of an hour, you could turn it in. So the judges actually got
really?
To test your recipe. Yes. And that was the first cook-off, live cook-off that I've ever been to. If it's an hour, that means they want you to stretch it out to an hour. So if it took you 15 minutes to grill whatever you had, then you turned it in. And I really like that. So so we all started turning in our stuff. And the whole time, you know, you got the cameras and you got microphones all in your face. It's like, you know, they're asking you questions, which that doesn't really bother me because really when I'm grilling or cooking or whatever, I'm in my zone. So, you know, I answer the questions and keep on doing what I was doing. And what they were really looking for, and I noticed this is in a lot of competitions, if anybody's, you know, who hasn't entered any competitive cooking contest, what they were looking for was, like, technique. So one of the things that Todd English said was he wasn't looking for, you know, someone mm-hmm. who's going to season up a pork chop and throw it on the grill, okay?
Right.
And they were looking for technique, something unusual, something that maybe was new or something. And one of my things is, one thing I did a cohesive dish. I actually did a full meal. So I had the lamb chops, but I also had, I grilled zucchini,
mm-hmm.
and I also had some rice noodles. And so I think what kind of blew them away, this is like the second time I've done it, is I actually grilled the pasta on the grill. And they had never seen that before, you know. And one of the judges said, well, how many times have you did that? I said, just a couple of times. This is like my second time. And he says, how does it work without all the noodles falling through the grate? He says, I put it up on the top level, and then
you
have some to fall through. But if I had, like, a grill plate or something like that, I would have stuck that on the grill. And anybody who wants to try that at home, that's the way to do it, you know. Put it on a grill plate. But and so they're looking for different techniques, something that's unusual. And I think they were happy that I gave them a full meal. It was a cohesive dish. You know, you had your starch, you had your vegetables, and you had your protein.
Well,
and
let me ask you this.
Did they provide
you with the stuff, or did you come?
Oh, my gosh. Know? They provided everything. They had everything. All you have to do is bring yourself, because I've been in competitions like the World Food Championship where you have to purchase, do all your shopping. No, they had everything. And if they were missing something or whatever, they'd run to the market and get it.
Really?
And it was just, it was really something else. And then they had, like, the DJ. And in Charlotte, they had a DJ playing, I mean, really great music. And me and one of the girls, my favorite song is Happy. So I rehearsed that. And we broke out in dance. You should have seen this, Lori. We were dancing on stage, got the crowd all involved. And my mom, and it was wonderful because my mom and my sister and my cousin from Virginia, so they lived close enough, they were able to come and cheer me on in Charlotte.
I saw that they were there. I saw your pictures. And man, it does look, you know, Macy's is going to do everything really great anyway. But
I mean,
it looked like they really...
I was just blown away. And the Macy's team was actually from the ones in Charlotte. They were actually from Miami. But they were like top notch, I tell you. And the New York crew was really good, and anything you needed they got for you, and everybody was just very accommodating.
Yeah.
But that was really an experience and a half. And my husband, of course, was there with me. And then one of my girlfriends from high school who I hadn't seen in over 30 years, her and her husband came to cheer me on. And that, you know, and that was like, that was kind of special. She says, oh, my gosh, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. They live in New Jersey, but they drove up.
Oh, that's nice.
And they came, and it was like, it was just nice. And then when they called my name, I mean, you know, I'm a big crybaby, okay, I'm going to tell you that. And I just boo-hooed. The boy says, oh, my God, you just boo-hooed. I mean, at the time, I didn't care. I mean, and then all the confetti comes down. They have, you know, and
yay.
It was just. It was like one, you know, that was one heck of a great grilling moment, you know, because I've always loved to grill, and grilling is what I love to do. I mean, I love to do regular, you know, other forms of cooking, but living in Florida, which you live in Florida, you know, we get to grill a lot.
We get to grill a lot.
And, you know, what's fulfilling to me is that I'm not really on the circuit like you guys are, which I know that would be great. And to be honored, you know, to win that Macy's Grilling Guru, that meant a lot because, you know, sometimes, you know, and I'm not classically trained, not even in regular cooking. Of course, I'm not on a barbecue circuit, so I'm just really a home cooker griller.
Right, right.
It's just my passion. That's what it is. And, I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are, you know, just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this because I knew this would happen if I went to you when I saw you out there early that we'd start having to watch time. But we're going to have you back, and we're going to have you with Daniel and the other contestant. But let me ask you something because you have figured out and captured the photo technique, and everybody has a problem with that. I took pictures of my steak this weekend. The steak in person was beautiful. Matter of fact, my pork loin in person was beautiful and that I took pictures of, and it just, the lighting was either bad or it looked, I mean, I had these beautiful grill marks that the onions and the mushrooms covered, and it's like, what the heck did I do? And I just, I don't know, what tip would you give somebody? Because it is something that even on the barbecue circuit, we take pictures, and I take pictures. Oh, I will tell you, though, I took pictures to send in that Crunchmaster that we were just talking about, and they actually recreated every dish that they got recipes for and then took pictures of their own, which
I
thought
love that. I love when they do that, too, because then you know they're really actually trying your recipe.
Yep.
A lot of them out there are voting, and it's all about popularity, which I really don't like. I really hate voting contests, but sometimes the prize is really good, so you know you're going to put your hat in. But right.
But what tip would you give somebody that is just kind of starting to really take their picture part of it serious?
Oh, okay. My tip would be, of course, to take more than one or two pictures. Sometimes I take 15, 20. Seriously, different angles, different lighting. And, you know, if you work during the day, and a lot of times you're taking pictures like in the evening, so the lighting is bad. So what you have to do is just, I don't know what type of photo edit you have, but I'll tell you one that I use, and it's free because, you know, it's free. It's called PicMonkey. That's PicMonkey. I don't mind giving up my tips because I tell everybody this. And you can do some editing. Now, if you take a bath, you can't make a bad picture look good no matter what kind of editing. I mean, if you need to if you take a blurred picture, it ain't going to come out good. But if you take a pretty decent picture and you need to lighten it up or something like that, PicMonkey is what I use. There are several out there, but it's so user-friendly. I mean, if you need to crop out, say if you got your husband's hand in and you need to take that hand out of the picture or something. I mean, so that's what I use, and I'm pretty sure there's some more fancier ones out there that cost money, but this is inexpensive, and anybody can do it. That's what I use.
That's what
and
we need.
So and that will help out a bunch. That's PICMONKEY, Pick Monkey. And
well,
just try it. I mean,
yeah, that's
and
a great
tip. I mean, that's my big tip, and you're going to be amazed what you can do. I mean, you know, so that's my tip for pictures.
Okay, and then the last thing is I notice on all of your pictures that you actually have a, and I don't know what it's called, but you have the Cooking with Love and Passion, and you have a name on there.
Yeah, that's called a watermark, and the reason why I do that, because it's amazing how people will try to swipe your pictures. So in that Pick Monkey, you can actually, it says text when you type in, and you can put that right on there. That's all in that Pick Monkey. That's where you can put your watermarks on your picture, because a lot of people will try to steal. Not that, you know, I don't care about people stealing, but I don't want people using my pictures for a recipe that they didn't even create. And so that's why I do that. So that's in that Pick Monkey, and it's called watermarks. But anything you text, say like if you want to say happy birthday to somebody on a picture or something like that, you can write, you can add that right to that picture. And there you have it.
Yeah, and so you actually had an experience where somebody used your picture for a recipe, didn't they?
Actually, yeah, they stole my picture and my recipe, and they were selling it, you know, and they were selling it online, selling the recipe. And so they got caught, and, you know, they had to delete it, and then they shut down that site because it was sort of like a Craigslist thing. But it's amazing how people will buy recipes. Why do that? You can just Google it. Google a recipe if you need a recipe. Why pay for it, you know, when you can get it free online? But a lot of my recipes is in Just a Pinch.
Yes. Yes, you do have a lot in Just a Pinch. And then you also are on another site that I'm on, Cookmore, aren't you?
Yeah, Cookmore. Yeah, I think I've only got like a couple of them. I think, what is the best recipe? God, better recipes?
I don't
know.
It gets to be
a few in there, but the one that I use all the time, I would say, is probably Just a Pinch, because I've got like 298 recipes with pictures on Just a Pinch.
Wow. Well, listen, we're going to have to close up for tonight, but we're going to have you back on once we air, and what we'll probably do is, because my show's on Tuesday, we'll air on Wednesday night, so the 6th. Like that next week, I'll have all of us on. And
that sounds wonderful. And I appreciate you having me on the show, and I'm sorry I go on and on and on, but,
now
you know what you're in for. All you say, Jerry, that's enough, and I'll shut up then, okay?
You're doing great. And listen, my offer still stands. If you want to come and cook a barbecue contest with me, I'd love to have
you
come.
You know I want to do that. We'll knock them off. I mean, seriously, the two of us together, they ain't going to have a chance. We're going to really have to do that, seriously.
Yeah, and I would love for you to do it. So, you know, let's actually make a time to do it. Even if you come down for the fun cook just to see what it's all about in Claremont over Labor Day weekend,
that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'll chat with you about that soon. But, again, congratulations on the Macy's deal. It was lovely to see you with that big $10,000 check.
It also included a trip for four for next year. New York, for the Macy's 4th of July fireworks. So me and three other people, and it's all exclusive. They're paying for the whole thing. So that was really a great win.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great package. I'm very happy for you, Sherry, and we look forward to seeing your stuff on Cooking with Love and Passion, and I hope you have a great night.
All right, you have a great evening. Thanks again for having me.
All right, Sherry, thank you. Okay,
bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. That's Sherry Williams with Sherry Williams, or Cooking with Love and Passion, and congratulations to her for her Macy's Grilling Guru competition this weekend that she took first place and won $10,000, and she'll also be competing with me on American Grilled on August 6th. So we're going to our next guest, and we've got Steve Staley with us. Can you hear me, Steve?
I sure can. Lori, how are you tonight?
Great, and you're coming in perfect, so that's really great. Yeah, now, Steve is, you're in the Missouri area, correct?
That's West Missouri, down by Joplin, where the tornado was a few years back.
Oh, and we all know that. You know, Joplin is where Operation Barbecue got started.
I was actually so fortunate to be one of the nine teams that were in the originating group of that. I'm very proud of that. And to see how it's grown, I think there are 700,000-plus meals served to date since that started.
Yep, and that's I didn't realize you were part of that. The team Dizzy Pig is in Florida now, and we were chatting about it, and they were in there.
When Stan and Jeff came down, the whole goal was just, you know, there might be 2,000 or 3,000 out-of-town first responders that they were thinking of. They had no idea the overwhelming impact that it had. And I'm so proud to be associated with those guys and the way they've taken the ball and run with it. Huge kudos to them. It's still 100% organization, which is very important for charities.
What's the name of your, you know, I was looking today through your Facebook page and stuff, and I know your website's down right now, but what was the name of your team? I know your business name is Steve's Services Barbecue Division, right?
Same as my team name. That way there's no confusion, and it's simple, and all the checks I add up to the same way. That's just the way we do it. It's a different name, but my accountant likes it, especially after I've cut it down to one company instead of four. He didn't like that part.
Well, I'm sure that gets to be confusing, and, you know, Barn Goddess Barbecue isn't my bank account name. It's under my catering. It's under my catering name, so At Your Service, and I had to produce paperwork to the banks. You know, the bank doesn't want to see a Barn Goddess Barbecue check, but they work it out. But anyway, let's talk about how long were you competing? Because you haven't been competing lately, right?
Well, I slowed way down. In 2010, I was afflicted with a stomach ailment. The valve on top of my stomach just quit letting in. The doctor somehow estimated date said 12% was seeping through there, and I don't know how they come to that. But I went from a robust 250 to 127 pounds and didn't eat for months. Then through a tube, I just switched over, closed down my cleaning business, my private eye investigation arm, and just concentrated solely on vending and competing and building my product, my smokers and racks. And then I couldn't eat. I couldn't taste anything. I was sitting at the American Royal judging, and I went over there with Bill Arnold, the Blues Hog, and we were having a great time. And I went over to judge the Open, and the ribs and the chicken all tasted the same. And that's when I knew that I was starting to have some chemical problems. And that next spring, I went downhill, was hospitalized for several months, and they never did figure out what the heck happened.
Wow.
But luckily, about a year and a half later, I smelled a cheeseburger and had to have some, and that was the first solid meal I ate. It was a half a cheeseburger after a year and a half of not eating. And
oh my
I was
God.
Eating 3-5 times a year, so it wasn't like I wasn't used to eating. I eat a lot.
Wow. And you were doing several competitions in a year, too, weren't you?
30-35 was my average for a long time there.
Yeah.
And that was either judging or competing or both, you know.
Okay.
But mainly competing.
How many have you done overall?
We've lost track after 700. I'm somewhere in between 700 and 800 if we, you know, try and put it on a number. And a lot of my records were destroyed through some, you know, weather inclements years back, and that's really got me goofed up on some of my early career. I ran a truck delivery company, I raced cars full time, and when it rained us out during my racing adventure, I was either at a barbecue competition or a demo derby.
Wow.
And the notes to keeping up with all that, the fun stuff, I really didn't notate much unless we won money or had so much fun we had to go back and do it the next year. But my main passion was running the sprint car up and down the country about 100, 120 times a year. That's what I mainly did for 35 years.
Well, and since then, and I saw that your website is barrelsmokers.net, but that's not operative right now, right?
Just down to a one-page informational page.
Okay.
I was real proud of the site we had, and then my guy went AWOL, and then we've had a pretty hard problem getting it straightened out since. we're making huge strides on it and hope to have it back up, the site and the store both. But I've been doing a lot of customer relations, just trying to keep awareness out. And, you know, one deal with my products when you buy something is the ability to call back. And in answer to your question, I started cooking when I was 7, cowboy cooking, and they said, you know, don't let the fire out, go out and don't fall in. And from that point on, I started realizing fire and meat and the two relationships. I was lucky enough when I moved to the Midwest, started working around and knew some excellent pit masters and just had to be at the right place at the right time. And I learned from some pretty stout people. And also, if you live in the Kansas City region and compete in that area, you've got to have a pretty good game to even, you know, place, let alone do well. It's a lot
right.
different than some things that aren't as vast as rich with competitors as there are here. But, yeah, I was doing a lot of them over there. I'm down to about 10 to 12. We're hoping to do 15 next year as far as the number of contests. But
wow.
It just all depends on our sales and, you know, what we, you know, my health's been holding out, and that's been a blessing, and we're just, you know, working on sponsors right now to further our cause.
Absolutely, because we all know that that's a key ingredient. And you build a smoker, basically a drum, but you have three sizes of drums, don't you?
Right. We offer the 55, the 85, and 110-gallon. And I will say the 85s are a little bit more popular than the 110s, but over high 90% of our business is the 55s. The standard 55, you can load it down with 75, 80 pounds of meat on the two racks it's got. Now, it makes a space-saving rack that if you use those, it amps up to four levels, and you can get 120 approximately pounds of product on and no problem slowing it down. And they achieve that by a lot more airflow than the other guys are putting in theirs. And I see a lot of guys have copied my two-pipe deal over the last few years, and they've seen the difference. I mean, but it is a complete package. I offer a little bit different package on the inside than everybody else, too.
And why don't we explain that? Because that is what really makes yours different than everybody else's.
The real uniqueness of the barrel smokers versus the other type of drum or barrel cookers is basically the fiberglass lining and the high airflow. That is the two things. I achieve the high airflow from 9 feet of tubing that is placed in a manner to where it directs all of that length of tubing versus velocity of air in the firebox. That's a whole lot of air, and that's why even with a 3-gallon water pan, you're ready to put product on it, 200 clean, burning, smoky, moist air in 6 minutes.
Wow.
A water pan, you're talking 3.5-4 minutes. Now, that's after you loaded a lit chimney with the smoker pan, the water pan, smoker plate, water pan, two racks, two thermometers, lid back on. You need to have your stopwatch ready and your product sitting there because it's the fastest up temperature cooker that I've ever found. And it's clean, too.
And what, you know, because I had, I don't have it any longer. I actually dismantled it because it wasn't what I really wanted. I had a fire brick pit out back because that's how I learned to cook. Was on an open pit doing whole hogs. So,
and that part of our growing up and a lot of our cultures was the backyard barbecue, which was just a big old cinder block and block covered vessel that we had a lot of good burgers and a lot of good steaks and chops.
So what, I mean, how did you decide, how did you decide to go with the fire brick? Because that changes the weight of it tremendously, but it's really almost like an insulated box.
I'm sorry, Lex. The weight is the biggest disadvantage because they are heavy. They're 218 pounds when I get them to you delivered.
Wow.
They're not going to blow over. But I've got customers in Canada that say if they can make a trail to them, they're cooking. In other words, the thermal dynamics are so affordable that you can burn in cold weather, hot weather, and it's still the same inside. You're going to have a real controlled fire that you put the heat where you want through those little small holes in the smoker plate, which slows all that fast-moving air down where it's controllable.
Right.
And then by those two pipes, you slide a little aluminum slider open and closing those two air inlets. That, the eighth inch moves at about 10 degrees. and it's pretty rapid. Within 30 seconds, you'll see the thermometer move. There's blowing that much air. And there's something that I've really been excited about lately is a friend has bought one of my cookers about 2 years ago and was thoroughly impressed with the length of time that it would run. And that's due to the fabrics and the efficiency of them. And I'm getting real tight. They don't leak air. I put a lot of attention and detail to the fit to them on everything that it is to them. Long story short, he's come up with a contest just for these type of cookers, barrel cookers
right.
only. And is it okay to go ahead and give him a plug? I'd sure
oh,
like
yeah.
to.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, where is that going to be? Because I'm going to write it down, too.
The information on Facebook is Let the Drums Roll Barbecue Contest on Facebook. And then the website is roaringdrums.com, all one word. And Jim's put together a 24 entrant possible. We're inviting all teams for anywhere that runs these cookers. Now, you can't run a fan on them. No gurus,
uh-huh.
no stokers. But that's the difference. They got to be just like they show up with no electrical add-on. And that's where I'm hoping to have a pretty good showing is I don't need an add-on. I don't need a fan. You would be surprised how many calls I've gotten. Steve, where did you put the fans in there?
Oh.
And it's not. It's just the length of that 2-inch tubing on the 55s. It's 2 1/4 and a little bit longer on the 85s and 110s. But
right. Wow.
To give you an idea how much humidity-related air they're moving, when I first prototyped them, I had it running 250 on the inside, doing a full load of product, and I touched the intake pipes on the front, and it was dramatically colder. And I got a lot of mean-spirited buddies that would come out and razz anybody if they get a chance. And I thought it was one of my friends that snuck over and was spraying it down with Freon when I was going in the house. It was that cold. I went and got a thermometer, and it was 75 degrees difference colder than the
barrel
that was 3 inches away from that tubing. It was 3 inches away from that. It was 75 degrees colder. And the only thing I can say is a 75-degree day, 60% humidity, Missouri air is pretty rich, not as rich as the Florida humidity, but that was what it was. That's when I knew I was flowing enough air. I just had to control it where it was easy for everybody to use.
Yeah. I'm guilty of having a stoker on mine. I love my drum, absolutely love my drum, but it's not the same animal as yours, like we were talking about. And I actually have a pit barrel cooker that you don't use a stoker with, and you just basically use a little valve. And the very first time that Noel told me how much to open it, I'm like, yeah, this is going to work, not thinking that it was going to work. It worked perfectly. I mean, it cooked perfectly. It worked perfectly. So when I saw that yours was, the firebrick just had me intrigued because I know what it does,
They're about a third of the way up. I run a 12 by 16 inch firebox on the 55.
Okay.
That's got a stainless ash pan bolted to the bottom of it. And when you fill that rascal plumb to the top with Chef's Best or a good, clean, long-burning briquette like that is, that's 30 hours burn time. And if you're going to load it down and just stock both shelves full of butts or briskets, you're going to be talking 22 hours on a full load. I've had the longest, lump is going to run a little bit less than time. It runs a tad hotter. I'm a pretty avid Royal Oak fan. We use Ozark Oak around here because it's really a good taste and flavor and plentiful, but it's just in this region, it seems like.
Right.
But Royal Oak, I've got customers all over that use it through the Do It Best locator, and I can get them clean fuel within minutes. Their address.
Yeah, I use Royal Oak. They're one of my sponsors. Let me ask you this. Now, because of the weight, typically for somebody to purchase this just for the base unit, what are we talking about in price so that somebody would have an idea of what they're talking about?
Sure. And I'm not the cheapest guy on the block, but to be honest with you, I've had to drive my price and take a cut because my expenses went up $366 in the last 3 years. And I've got them capped down. I'm there at $549. And a dolly, should you want to roll it around with the dolly, it's another $49. So you're looking at $599 for those two things. and then break to get wherever we get. I'm hooked up with Estes Express, which has been an extremely fit partner on shipping, and they've got the best rates that I've ever found, and at least we've never had a problem as far as damage. But
I've
they
shipped
are
with
heavy.
Them. Yeah, I've shipped
yeah.
with them. They're great.
Yeah. They're not going to be the same thing as some of my competitors, but they got a lot more substance in the water pan and the smoker plate, which is pretty thick, is 7-gauge. It's something that makes me real proud that I'm putting an indirect heat smoker. I'm an old, you know, direct heat, indirect smoker's grill. I'm old school that way. And I'm proud to have a product that's modern day airflow. It's actually still an old school indirect heat method.
Yeah.
And I wanted to build them in the States. I've had several offers to have them overseas. I put a lot of hand time into the pipes, the way they fit into the barrel and the way that spider works. I've switched over to a 3-rib barrel or a smooth side. And a 3-rib barrel, I used to have to tell customers to just check their diameter and make sure they weren't out around anything every once in a while. I've never had to do that since I switched over to these. These are tough 44-pound barrels, brand new ones too, powder-coated when I get them. And that's one of the things, everything I'm doing to them is as good quality as I can do for them. Stainless inside, good parts.
Stainless inside?
I got stainless water pan, and I got a stainless ash kitchen pan on the bottom of the firebox.
Oh, okay, and okay.
Unlike the aluminum ones, these don't melt. the diverter plate or the smoker plate is cold steel with, patented type holes that I run through there. They're my design, and I've worked real hard at them to get them to flow just perfect where they're in sync with what. A lot of people ask me, well, how come you just don't buy an egg and you get everything? Well, the egg is a different breed of animal. They're a great product, but I like to tell people that my product shines in the barbecue range, and the eggs are more of a dry heat in the 407-degree range is where they put out excellent product all temperatures. I don't want to say anything negative about them because they're a good cooker, but I've got a real sexy cooker for anywhere from a novice to a champ cook. You're still getting the same consecutive results every time. And you don't have to go mess with it or play with it or wonder what it's doing. When I cook, I put a remote camera out there, and I just do it to just make sure it's good. I'm worth watching it. I'm overdoing something else. It's not like you got to just sit there and babysit it like a lot of them.
You don't have to worry about pulling the lid off.
Or...
After we talked today, I was watching, imagine this. I was watching the Cooking Channel, and they were doing something on a guy with a pit. And he had, now this is, you have to kind of think with me here for a second. He actually had a hole dug with fire brick in the hole. Kind of similar to what you're talking about. I mean, you could almost, he had a pan in there and he had it covered with banana leaves. And I'm thinking you could do that same style of cooking with your drum, couldn't you?
Well, I never even put the two together until we're sitting here on a flop talk radio. But, I'm from the Rocky Mountains. And I was blessed to be dropped off as babysitters. I had some outfitters that took me under their reign when I was very little. And so I was able to just run up and down the Rocky Mountains a lot of times that a lot of people have never been able to do. And I'm real appreciative of that. But one of the things that we did was we would use fine granite because it's real important when you heat rocks up, they don't explode. But we would make our own pits and cook, what we'd harvest out in the mountains, right there in that type of way. We used burlap and instead of banana leaves because the Rocky Mountains didn't have anything.
Right, banana leaves.
I never put that correlation together. But, I started insulated cooking a long time before I even took rep to it. Another guy that, was around the racing scene where I was in years back, and he's been building some pretty decent smokers, but his style was so much different than mine. That's why I wanted to do what I did with my design and let people choose. There's so many ways to get to the top of the mountain, and a person just got to find out what's comfortable with them,
Well, and let's face it, Steve, half of the people in barbecue, more than half of the people in barbecue, we have multiple cookers. We want to be able to say we can cook on anything. So, you know, that's why I have two different types of barrels. So, I mean, I think there's room for everybody, and there's room even for people who like the barrels. And right now in Florida, the juice can is so hot because our team of the year leader is a guy that's cooking on two cans, and he's making it. So it's real hot here. Go ahead.
One of my friends, Jason, from Four Men and a Pig up here in Kansas City area, we were cooking together, I think it was 2007 or 8. We did a lot of similar contests that year. And I've known Mark long enough where I can go talk to him and get the truth out of him. And he told me what he was doing, and I just couldn't believe it was that simple. But he was starting all his meats out on the can and putting it in his homemade pellet cooker and going in and getting some rest and win everything. He just picked everybody's tail. And I don't care what kind of pit they was next to. He had probably $35 or maybe a little bit more in what he was using. And it just rocked. I mean, that's when I knew that this was something to really, you know, ramp up from just what I was doing, you know, backyard stuff. But I'll take two of my competitors or my units and put them up against any pit out there. That's a bold statement, but I can back it up. I mean,
well,
they're easy to use.
That's a big point. Now, when you go to a contest, you take two containers with you?
That's just because I want two different flavor profiles for my big stuff. I'll do my brisket and butts in one. I'll do my ribs and chicken and desserts or people's choice. I might go back to the big one. But it's just I'm using pecan in one. I'm using hickory and apple and cherry in the other. Now, I can do them all four categories by timing, but I'm just going after different profiles.
Right.
And that's what's working for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to do all that meat on two cans and move it all around. I mean, let's face it. On one can.
A rack come in, Lori.
Yeah. Well, and I saw those racks.
Not only can you move stuff around, but the ones I've got for these 55-gallon are 8-slot, so you can do 16 slabs of ribs, or the wing rack will hold 100, 120 of Sam's Finest. We've had 123 on so far, and they have room left. Harvest all the same one pull. You have two racks per cooker, so that's 250 wings a time. But when you're not doing that, you can stack a pan over pan. If you want to really get comfortable, just put another rack on there and have four cooking surfaces of the same drum. And mine runs in that fair that it's not going to bother. And a lot of them, they're running the three-quarters inch nipples in the very small one-inch holes and cutting them down.
Right.
There's no way in the world they'll do that. Not without a lot extra pampering and time.
Right, right.
That's what airflow difference is that, you know, it's hard to demonstrate that without seeing it, but it not only goes up fast, but the big cut about two-thirds of the time, in other words, 10-pound briskets are taking me 7 hours before they're in the box and you know, I'm just happy. But ribs and chicken, you only save them about half an hour. I've never figured that out. the big test goes a lot faster.
Wow. So are you doing any YouTube video? Because you said you had a remote that you could kind of watch it occasionally. Do you have any YouTube videos on your cookers?
I don't have now, and I'm very ashamed to say that. This has been all part of the stuff that I've paid other people to come do and been waiting on them to show up and all this already paid. And I've yet to find somebody that would keep their word in the web development department without wanting $35,000 in their life, you know, my next born child for my grandkids or something. I've had a heck of a time with web people.
Yeah.
And I'll be glad
good.
To get that thing straightened out, believe me.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to pay barbecue for web services, look me up.
Wouldn't that be good if we could do that? I know I will tell you, just as a sharing of information, there's some really great guys out there in web, and I would tell you to get a hold of Ken Fisher. I couldn't think of his last name. But he and Patty do a website called Date Night Doings. I have to think about this stuff.
I'm on my Facebook line, friends.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that name.
Let me tell you, he told on the show, so I'm not saying anything that I'm actually been going to call him too, because he had just a couple people help him, and it changed. He was doing the website himself, and he wasn't a big techie or anything, but a couple guys gave him really easy information, and he said he changed, it literally changed his whole world. And I'm thinking I need to call him too, because I have to do something with my site. I do so much on social media that we miss out on the web part of it, and we're
right.
supposed to be doing it, you know?
It's the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I'm a one-man gang. I cook all contests by myself. I build by myself. You know, I have welders, and I have laser cutters, and I have powder cutters, but that's separate entities. But I'm the one-man gang, and I'm wearing out. 20 hours, 18, 20 hours at my age, what I've been through, you know, I just need to get somebody to get this straightened out, because being without a store has really cost me. And if I hadn't been blessed with some wonderful customers, that's how I survived this last year. So just on repeats and reorders.
And what little bit
of exposure I've had.
And it kind of hurts, too, that people aren't always buying tons of multiples. They might buy two, but, you know, you're not having that kind of repeat business. It's from people that have seen their buddy with it.
I've got plenty of guys that, you know, just started off with one cooker, then realized, like I do, using two in competitions, and I'm blessed to have quite a few. I don't have any in the Southeast as much as I would like. Need somebody win an FBA, but I got them in the other contest organizations.
Now, what about FBA, those racks? How do you sell those?
Do what now, the racks? They're
$29. They're
$29 for the 55 ones that we've been talking about. For the 85s and 110s, they're a little bit higher. They're made out of quarter-inch steel, and I get them chrome-plated, and they're polished and chrome-plated. They'll last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody calls me on 417-358-1128, or look me up on Facebook under Steve Staley, S-T-E-A-L-E-Y, or I'm on Google. I used to have 12 to 15 pages when my site was up. Now I'm pretty still easy to find. You know, Grill Smokers, grillsmokers.net, and it usually pops me up somewhere.
Just call them up.
Whatever size you want.
Well, and if somebody goes to your Facebook page, if they enlarge your profile picture, your phone number is on your profile picture if they want to get a hold of you. So that's an easy thing to do, too.
Yes, and I'm glad Facebook is letting that go on. I've heard horror stories how they treat some of the businesses on there, and so far they haven't hindered me. You know, they haven't caused me any problem at all. But, you know, just go ahead.
Do you have anything else that you're working on that you're going to make changes with? I know being a one-man show, you're tied up with what you have, because those racks look beautiful. I mean, I'm surprised we're not seeing them in Gander Mountain or something.
Well, I've just tried to keep them from the big guys seeing them until I got enough of them out there where people know they're Steve's instead of theirs. It's been a big problem because of the website support being down. I'm limited in how much I'm saying. I mean, it sounds stupid saying that now on the format we're on, but I'm just now loosening up and talking about them, too, because people need to use them. If I can say, you know, you don't have to be barbecuing to use these. If you're cooking extra young or Italian dishes and want to use that extra space above the rack you're using now, you might get an hour, hour and a half out of your day back.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever discipline of cooking that needs fit. The only thing I haven't made them for was rotisserie pits, and that's because the racks are usually so narrow. But I've got them on paper. It's just a matter of whipping them out if somebody wants them. But they just all the possibilities of box cookers or any kind of oven, the home ovens, you can use them. I mean, need to get the word out to where people see that they're not just wing racks or grip racks only. They're, you know, two racks or two spaces, two pans. It's a pretty neat combination. But I was really shocked that nobody else was doing them.
Well, I think if you could stack some up with food on it, because I'll tell you, in my pellet cooker, because one of my cookers at competition, I use a Rectech pellet cooker, but at some point I will zigzag or alternate pans lift them up off my grates. And when I cook, like, my bread puddings or desserts in the Rectech, I put it up on inverted pans, and it never fails. I I crunch one of the corners down, and then I got to worry that I've created a real problem. But, you know, just because then I get a different kind of airflow when I'm cooking desserts in there. So
right. People
doing pizzas and stuff, unless you're doing the pizza where you want it on the grill, but I've cooked it in a pan before in the thing, and I want it up off the grill, you know, just
right. For
airflow. So you need some pictures with some food, honey.
That's something that I've been working on. I've got it scripted out. I've got two commercials scripted out. We just need to get funding for them. Winter one and a summer one, both. But what I've been working on and what I really want to impress on future potential buyers is an instructional CD. I've got it scripted out. It's just a matter of shooting it. I've got enough cookers in stock now. It's just I've been lining up people to go complete that little mission with me, and the weather's holding out, luckily, around where I'm at now. And look for that to be, you know, in the works pretty quick. But that way, I'm going to feature all types of people using them, from pro cookers to first-time cookers, all in the same video. Just walk through the different steps of how you light it, you know, distribute the coals, put it up, be ready with your food, and how fast they go and how easy they are. I mean, but before long, when they get one, they'll have that instructional video in them. And hopefully they'll eat some of my time out a little bit.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, Steve, you know, YouTube is a beautiful thing because people seeing you use them, it is a commercial, and you know it's nice to be able to flip over to that. Technology is.
My site had a bunch of testimonials, which helped my credibility, and a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, the YouTube is definitely in the mix. It's just I haven't been able to get. You know, I've not done a lot of those things because my loop has not been completed with the website and store ready to capitalize on that.
Right.
All the excitement that I'll generate. And it's kind of had me in a funk. I mean,
yeah.
I don't like going backwards or just sitting in the hovering. I want to go forward every day. And now I'm starting to see a little bit of cracks avenues how I get there. So it's all this hard work and persistence hopefully will pay off soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw in your picture, too, there's a bunch of drums sitting in the back of that, in the background of your picture. So I know you got drums happening.
I've got a pretty full build area. This contest up in Iowa, and did I ever answer that question? It was 50 miles west of Des Moines, Dallas Center, Iowa, is where that contest is.
Oh, it is?
That's a pretty long jaunt for, you know, people to go, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a full-fledged KCBS contest, competitive series. So that kind of, the competitive series lets you alter some of the meats at the promoter's choice. So you can turn in tenderloin instead of brisket, beef medallions instead of brisket. The only thing that's steadfast on this particular one is you got to do KCBS ribs. No exception. But chicken, you can turn in any kind of chicken, and it's going to show a lot more creativity than the standard just four categories boom. You know, and the judges, they'll be so lucky. They've got some pretty good people coming up to help with the contest too, and some of the names are pretty impressive. I'll let Jim more or less spill the beans on them, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Now, what did you have a date on that contest, Steve?
It's 22nd and 23rd, I believe. It's Saturday or Friday, Saturday. Normal KCBS, and then real nice open pavilion, like I say, about 15 miles west of Des Moines in third week of August. Yeah.
Well, that'll be cool. If you, because you have so many contests under your belt, if you could give a tip to like a first time or a brand new team, what kind of tip would you give a new team to consider other than buying one of your cookers?
Well, you have to have consistency in your smoker so you can work on your technique every time consistently. That is a very huge point. But the one thing I would advise anybody that's thinking about it, whether backyard or not, KCBS has got in their archives an excellent overview and check sheet of what a guy or gal or both should bring to a first-time contest. And if you check all those 80-some things down, not only are you going to be prepared, but you're going to have enough stuff to allow you to have fun, too, instead of like, oh, I forgot this, or I didn't do that. as expensive as product is nowadays, you just don't want to waste it. And so the preparation that a person can do I was listening to Sherry, and one thing I differ with is I've won chicken a whole lot of times in my career. I've won ribs a lot. I'm a good brisket cook. I'm a fair pork cook. Bottom line is every time you turn around, somebody's improving their game.
Yeah.
And so what I was doing 3 years ago is not valid today. My chicken recipe, I've gone from a 13-step one. I'm down to three. I got about six three-step recipes, four-step recipes that just rock. They're the easiest ones I've ever done. They're actually the better ones that I've done.
And they're
but
funny.
I pick a lot. I mean, I wear people out testing food sometimes. Until I get comfortable. You know, when I had my feeding business, I had the luckiest crew. I never worried about Mondays because they were all there with their coolers. You know, I had a pretty good hook on that deal. A lot of times when you pay them on this kind of cleaning deal, they didn't show up when they had money, but I could always hook them to get back with food and a good job.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, if you had a contest over the weekend, that's one way to keep your workers
coming
in. That's pretty funny.
That was an awful good perk, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, I test a lot. You got to have your game down at home. You know, it's the same way you race. I raced and won a lot. I was blessed to be starting off right at the top, and I just had a real good run with some great people in that career. But the one thing that people never understood is you didn't win at the racetrack. That was just going through your final dam. You won on all your preparation you did before you got there. And that's what it takes cooking, too. If you're going to do good, you can't go up and blame it on the judges that you didn't do as good as you could, because there's always room to improve.
Absolutely. There is always room to improve.
It takes, like I said, I've wore out a lot of people, but I've also made a lot of strides on figuring out things. I've got a friend that says a couple that just got into competing 5 or 6 years ago, and he's an excellent advocate of what good barbecuing is. He's family-oriented, takes his kids with him, involves in them. But he's just the kind of guy that I'd like to see stay in this sport. He's created his own rubs after buying all these others. He's done real well. He's building his own cookers, box-type, downgrass cookers. He's just done but he works his tail off practicing. And that's how he's, not only did he go to a good school, today, blessedly, you can hop in, classes and get you up to speed. I started, you couldn't buy, you could pay Johnny Trigg $1,000 and he'd tell you, yeah, I'm from Texas, that's about it. he just didn't get any secrets. Yeah, you can be up to speed in an hour on a Pitmaster show,
Yeah.
It's a lot different now. So that's why you got to practice to stay on top of what's current.
Yeah, let's face it, media, once again, not only does it help us brand ourselves and do better that way, but it is the way that you can learn how to do just about anything out there. So, good information.
It's much more gratifying when you're using your own product or your own attempt or your own. When somebody just didn't tell you to follow me, I did it this way, and then you have success. I appreciate those, too, believe me. I know how hard this is, but I really appreciate the tries from ground up, too.
Absolutely. Well, if there's anything we can announce for you, don't hesitate to give me a buzz. And I wouldn't hesitate to make some phone calls and see if somebody can help you out with that web page. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that like to be able
to get to
you.
Plead for somebody's help, but I am at that phase, to be honest. I mean, it's hard to keep this information down. My competitors have just really done well in my absence, we'll say. And that's fine. I mean, there's room for everybody. But I want some exposure where people at least have a good opportunity to choose what they want.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
All, man.
Yep. Well,
this for YouTube stuff for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it looks like you build a quality item, and I wish you a lot of luck, and look forward to seeing some of your posts on Facebook.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Lori, and I hope I've answered your questions like I should. And if anybody's got some, just give me a shout, and I'll be glad. If I don't know, I guarantee I can call somebody real quick and ask them.
All right.
Can get a question.
Sounds great.
Be glad to help.
All right, Steve. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
right. Thank you, sir. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. So that's Steve Staley, folks. And again, Steve's services, the barbecue division, Steve Staley on Facebook. Check him out. And builds a great product. I'm going to have to check out the racks because I can see that that's something that cooking desserts would help me with. And I'm going to my next caller, and I'm pretty sure I know who it is. Is this none of your business?
Ooh, me?
Yeah.
It's none of your business.
Yeah, I thought it was you. We've got Mad Hunky Rich, as I call him on my phone. You know, I have you as Mad Hunky Rich, and I have Matt Barber as Hot Matt Wachula. So,
I'm in good company, apparently.
Absolutely. Well, you got to have your own nickname, so because between all the, I have like 300 names in there for tenants. So we're here with Mad Hunky Meats, and one of the reasons he and I were just like chatting back and forth on Facebook today briefly, but I'm glad you could call in because you saw that I used the Vortex weekend.
The Vortex.
The Vortex on the drum, and actually that's where Steve had made a comment about his racking in the drum because he saw the Vortex. You know, you guys, I know that has not been an easy thing to ship, but you guys got it figured out, and that piece of equipment, it's so simple, but it works so well.
Sometimes things are simple that work well. It's just kind of happens that way sometimes, Lori.
No, I realize that, and I'm hoping that people get an opportunity to see those in action. I don't know how he came up with it, to be honest with you.
Well, from what I've heard from Mr. Bill is he's seen the, you know, charcoal chimneys, and there's a grill called the Stock, S-T-O-K, that has something similar in it, and it's something that he just said, you know what, this can work everywhere, or in a grilling environment, the egg, the kettle, and now the drum. Hell, I'd never even thought of the drum, thank you, but it's just one of those things that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Now, if people want to get them, they can get them from you. If they want to see them, they can see them on your webpage, and now they can see them on mine with chicken wings on them. So you can catch – what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Through the website or drop me an email, richmadhunkymeats.com. Quite honestly, you better hurry up. We're running into production issues here.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Evidently, we're selling them too cheap because the original supplier is now saying that we're not going to supply you anymore unless you pay more money.
Oh.
It was the deal is it was like a okay, yeah, we can do that for you. You know, how many do you need? We need 100. All right, fine. And we waited forever. And the deal came out to be, here's your 100. We can no longer supply you at this price.
Oh.
So, and they don't need to be the stainless. I mean, they're going to last forever at stainless, but there's been some prototypes done in cold-rolled steel that have been out there for two and a half years now that are still serviceable. So I think it's going to end up being, I was talking to Bill last night, it's going to end up being there's going to be two models. We will continue with the stainless if you choose. It's going to be more. Or the regular steel will be at the same price at the $29.95. Also, there's going to be a couple of smaller models to fit the smaller grills. So we're
like
kind of in
smoky,
flux.
For what now? I'm
like
sorry?
A Smoky Joe, yeah.
For a Smoky
exactly.
Joe, that's what I was wondering. That'll be great.
I mean, the unit as it sits fits a 22.5 Weber just fine. I did 5 pounds of wings with it on a 22.5 the other day. But the smaller grills, yeah, it's we need a smaller unit.
Right.
So patience, folks. It's all in flux right now, but we're going to continue on with this because it's a great product.
It is a great product, and I don't know if I told you what I did too with it. Is in Evans, we were doing a potluck within the group of teams that were by us, and so
mm-hmm.
everybody was going to make something, and I had rib cut off. So I took the rib cut off, and I always have dried beans with me and some onions and carrots and celery, and I did a Dutch oven pot of beans.
Ooh.
With the rib cut off. And let me tell you, Rick,
I did it with
the Vortex, and I put the Vortex on the first shelf in my drum and angled it up, you know, like I had for the wings, and put the Dutch oven right in the center of it, and it was cooked, and it was cooked in no time.
The
microwave of
charcoal world.
Yeah, I mean, there was still charcoal left after it was, and it was still, and it was cooked. So you know how much charcoal. Huh?
It's efficient, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm taking a Dutch oven class, but I kind of want to tell Forrest Gilmore, I can't wait to take his class, but I want to go, but the Vortex works really good.
Well, don't bust any chops there.
Well, the only thing that happened with it, I'll share with you, and I'm sure it's my fault because I had that pot filled to the gill with it, but I bent the rack a little bit, so then I had to turn it upside down because of the weight of it with all that excessive heat hitting it. So I just
mm-hmm.
flipped it upside down midstream, and then I straightened it out.
And that's something I should mention. It's going to affect, if you've got a solid grate all the way across, it's going to affect the grate. The temperatures out of this thing are hot. I've used an infrared thermometer. I've seen 975.
Oh.
So, yeah, coming out the top of the thing. So, if you have a Weber, they have a grill available, the Gourmet grill, which has the center cut out. I would recommend that. How much is a new grill? I don't know, $10-$15, but. But nonetheless, it's going to affect your grill.
Well, I didn't think about it, but that's just because I wasn't thinking about it. I mean, obviously, with the weight of that and that heat, I should have expected it. But all I did was flip it upside down, and it went back into shape.
Yeah, and life was good. Okay.
and life was good. Now, I will tell you, for the wing contest, I cooked all the drumettes on the Vortex.
Those look beautiful, by the way.
Hey, I want to tell you that, and for everybody out there, I used the Mad Hunky Rub Hot Wang and called Rich that day because I wasn't going to do hot wings. I figured everybody does hot wings, but I really wanted to because I made that homemade dressing and I wasn't going to make it saucy. So I called Rich, Mad Hunky Rich, and said, hey, I want to use them, but I want them to have a little bit of sauce made out of the rub. What do I do? And are we able to share what you told me to do? Because I
please,
think everybody...
Please do. No secrets.
Okay. So he instructed me to use half white vinegar and half water as a spritz. And let me tell you, it gives the twang of a regular...
To the wang.
Of the wang part of the hot wang sauce. But what I did that I shouldn't have done is I kept putting rub on it. And let me tell you, I had some today for breakfast, and they're pretty hot. They're really
good.
They're
a little spicy.
Yeah, they're a little spicy. I could have stopped at the second spritzing of them or the thing, but they... and what I was starting to tell you is I did my flats in the Rec Tech, and I did my drumettes in the Vortex because I knew the Vortex would take care and make sure the drumettes were cooked, and they were cooked perfectly. I mean, I prefer them like that than on the RecTech. The flats are beautiful on the RecTech, but I didn't want to mix them, and I just, it really did a great job. I could have done two rows for anybody that had looked at that picture, and if you don't know what we're talking about, again, go to Mad Hunky Meats and look at his little deal on the, he's got a little explanation of the vortex there, or just search back through like the last 10 postings on my site, and you can see the before on the grill with the vortex and then the platter. So they were beautiful. I was super happy with them. And the half vinegar, half water mixed with Rich's Hot Wang rub is amazing. And my mouth's watering right now that I'm talking about because I love that hot stuff. But even better than that, which I would never serve a judge, is the...
Yeah, cough, cough.
Yeah, I would never do the... And I lost what it's even called. Oh, hot ass Wang sauce rub.
Yeah, the hot ass is, yeah, that's people out there that just want to get hurt. And
yeah, I like that, but I would never serve that. I would never serve it to somebody else. Yeah.
I don't use
it.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
You don't?
I don't use it. No. It's too hot for me.
and my, I got to tell you, my mouth is just totally watery. But what it's like when you first smell it, and it like came to me in a dream of what the smell was, it's like the fire Cheetos, the smell of the fire Cheetos.
Okay. I don't know. I was just mixing stuff up and playing with my triple beam scale, and that's what came out. But
well, you did really good with that. Anything new in your product line? Because
there's
the poultry brine, and I know people love that.
They do. It's been a very big seller, actually.
Yeah.
I think I'm over 700 or 800 pounds this year gone. So.
Wow.
It's used in competitions. Couple of teams. Smoking in the D, Mr. Mike Robinson has been scoring well all over the Midwest using the poultry brine and the hot wang in combination.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. He took third in chicken at the Sam's Club, KCBS, and between third and first, there was 0.4 points. How tight is that?
And he used the hot wang rub?
He uses the hot wang and the poultry brine. Yep, I'm surprised myself, but
wow.
Judges are digging it.
Yeah, we've had a lot of, you know, now I haven't judged in almost a year, so I've got to get my judging in this month because we're in the 1st of July, but in Jacksonville in November of last year, we had several spicy chicken served to us, and I was really surprised to see it. Now, I like it, but a couple of the judges at the table just didn't like it at all, you know, so, wow.
What else they're doing, I think, that may offset that is they're using my general purpose on breasts, and they're turning in slices of breasts because the poultry brine makes them. As a judge, you see a piece of breast come in, you're going like, wow, you got balls.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. And the brine just makes it absolutely moist and quality. So that may have something to do with it. They're always turning in a sliced breast with their chick.
Well, that has a lot to do with it because we use the poultry brine at home because we eat boneless, skinless chicken breast at the house. That's what we happen to prefer. And let me tell you, if I get short on time and I haven't brined the chicken, Leanne goes, you didn't use that stuff. You know,
you didn't use it.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know what it is, but he's like, how come you didn't use that stuff that makes it good? This isn't nearly as good as that other stuff. And I'm like, really? You got your nerve. But it isn't.
Yeah.
It is.
In the doghouse, you don't get any.
Yeah, I mean, it's day and night, and I always, when I'm doing that, and I don't know even what your recommendation is, I brine for 4 hours. And it, I'm telling you.
Skinless breast? You know what? That's about right. That's about right.
I brine for 4 hours. And, Rich, it really is amazing process. You know, a lot of the guys know that I brine on the competition circuit, and I've gone to brining pork, which you and I just recently talked about. I don't know if you're on the phone or today or whatever, but, you know, I'm making a brine now for the pork. You're sending me some, so I'll be using that. It just, you know, anything to get the extra moisture in there, but nothing compares to your brine with chicken, what it does for chicken, especially boneless, skinless breast.
It's a hard piece of meat. And you, as a judge, you see that come in, you're like, really? You think you're going to pull that off? Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
So, cop guys out there, just saying.
Well, you've sold quite a bit of it this year, but we were starting to say, do you have anything new? And then we kind of got off.
Yes, I do. we kind of went on a tangent there.
what do you got?
it happens in this world.
Yes, it does.
The naked brine is going to come out soon.
Not on the market?
It's not. No, it's not, ma'am. You've had a sample of that.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
I believe you have.
Yeah, you did. Remember I told you that I added something into it that I'm ashamed to say that I ruined it?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, well.
Yeah.
it allows you some poetic license with flavors. It's the chemistry of the brine.
Right.
Phosphate-based. It's up to you to add flavors or not. You could let your rub and your mops or whatever speak, or you can add flavor to it internally using the naked brine.
Let me ask you about that, because I just, as we're saying that, I'm wondering, could I take my rub or your general purpose rub, we'll talk about your products, could you take your general purpose rub and actually mix it in the naked brine and use that as a brine to pull it into the flavor of the meat?
Absolutely.
And you, because you really wouldn't overpower it, it's osmosis.
I would suggest when you use the product, the naked brine, that you be bold with your flavors. You know, if you're thinking a teaspoon, use a tablespoon. But yes, it will draw whatever you desire into the meat. So, use with caution, I suppose. That's what I should say.
Well, and you know, let me just confess, because I was playing, and you know, I don't think I've ever really screwed up a brine. The only way you really can is if you add vinegar into it and you leave it in too long, and that's what I did. It wasn't for a competition.
You crossed the line there. Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. But I wanted to... You crossed the line. You crossed the line. I wanted
you went to a marinade instead of a brine.
And I wanted it to happen at the same time.
And it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. But I know enough about the chemistry. I was going off the deep end, Rich. Yeah, I mean, that's
yes,
what I
you
did.
Were, ma'am.
Yeah, I was. And really, I apologize, but that's what I did. Well, the people now,
let
you know,
learn.
Do not put vinegar in with the brine. If you were buying the naked brine, don't add vinegar into it. I was
Any brine. Don't add vinegar.
I add vinegar in one. I can't tell you what one, though.
It's my own.
All
right.
But it's not a 4-hour brine like everything else.
And it's probably not phosphate-based either, is it?
No, it is not.
There's the chemistry issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm talking about a true brine that a homeowner would make. You know,
right. And they work. They work.
Yeah.
But it's timing, and you got to watch what you do with it. Bingo.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you can turn it mealy in a second, and there's nothing worse than mealy pork.
No. Well, there is, but we won't discuss that. It's public. You know.
So when is The Naked Brine going to come out?
The Naked Brine is going to be out very soon.
Okay.
It's a phone call away. It's finished. It's done. I've got the formula. I got a lot of money hanging out right now due to orders that I've made to McCarthy Spice, which I'd like to throw out there, St. Louis, Missouri. Great people. However, I owe them some money at this point. So as soon as I get a few more orders in, the Naked Brine will be out. It'll be out before the end of the summer.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have obviously some tested and successful rubs and brine. So, you know, sometimes it's easier to stick with that and worry about getting that back on the shelf than opening up the new one.
It's you know what, it's been an experience. I don't know how to anticipate orders. That's the thing, is, you know, one day I'll get, you know, like two or three orders. The next day it'll be like 12.
Yeah.
And somebody local will stop in and say, I want 5 pounds of rub. And that throws everything out of kilter. So it's kind of a strange, I guess I'm just getting used to it. I'm new to this, and I'm sorry for the people that have been on back order if it happens. But
are you selling through any retail outlets at this point, Rich?
I am. I'm in Utah. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in, St. Louis. I'm in a few. Surprisingly, none in my home state of Michigan. As hard as I try, I can't seem to get anybody to pick it up. But I don't know. Pardon?
Any of the other internet-based superstores?
No,
or any of them
I'm not. I'm really not. One of my distributors has a presence on Amazon, but I'm not there. They are marketing my product there, evidently. I'm surprised to find out that, but whatever.
Oh.
Matter of fact, I got a call from a customer, or a call from somebody who bought off Amazon and bought some of the product, and it was a year out of date.
Oh.
Not a year out of date. It was out of date by about a month. Don't worry about that, folks. The packaging and the product is fine. Yeah, it was not pretty, quite honestly. And I called the distributor and said, you know, I really wish you would order more. You know, if you want me to buy back some, I'll give you a credit on it. But they sold it, and it shows up with the date, and it's like a month out of date. I told them to use it. I don't have a problem with it. Quite honestly, I've used stuff I've had sitting around for quite a while. But, yeah, the FDA requires you to put a one-year date on it. If you want to go any further than that, yeah, if you want to go further than that, they ask for lab results, et cetera, so forth, which I can't do.
Yeah.
And what do they mean? I don't know. I don't know.
But the
packaging is quality.
The product you're using, the way it's sealed, that shouldn't be a problem.
It really isn't. If you open it, all right, yeah. You know, I recommend 6 months.
Right.
Store it in the freezer. But anyway, I was a little upset over the thing, and to hear from somebody out of the blue saying, I bought your stuff from somewhere, which I had no idea where it was.
Yeah, that's what hurts on that kind of stuff, and somebody wants you to warrant what somebody else sold them. Yeah, that's.
And I'll warrant it. It's just, you know, crap. Don't do that.
Yes, one more thing that you, I mean, you almost have to have agreements. I know, I was in the, I sold wholesale and got some of the bizarre things once in a while, and you don't have any control over it. But so you've got the Naked Brian that'll be out shortly. Any other new ones coming out?
No, not really. I'm scratching my head over a beef thing. I lie. Jerky. I have a jerky cure season.
Okay.
Now. For you jerky fans.
And that's
it's
pretty exciting.
Well, I love jerky. Who doesn't like jerky? I don't know. Do you like jerky?
I do. Now, let me ask you this, though. Do you only do yours on the grill, or do you do yours in a dehydrator, or do you do them both?
I do not use a dehydrator.
Okay.
I use my sausage cooker, set at low temps, and typically, quite honestly, once I get about 3 or 4 hours on it, it goes to my oven. I have a downdraft gin air, and I made a modification to it that I propped the door open and have a hood that sucks the moisture out through the downdraft out of the oven. That's just how I do it. But a dehydrator, whatever, it's got cure. You're safe. There's really no issues, however you want to do it.
Yeah, my next thing that I really want to play with is bacon.
I do bacon.
Now, you did a class not too long ago on curing, didn't you?
Sausage and curing, yes, I did.
Yeah. And how did it go?
It went well. Received very well. The people were like, well, I have this recipe for my grandpa. I said, well, it's a good thing you all lived. I don't mean to throw barbs here, but if you're going to smoke something, especially long term, you need to use cure, people. You do.
And why don't you explain briefly why?
Well, the reason why you want to use cure is, well, there's the danger zone thing, you know, 40 to 140, or I don't know what the specs are now, 37 to whatever. But regardless of that, when you're processing meat in that range for an extended amount of time, 4 hours is the accepted number, you need something to prevent botulism from being a problem. And cure does that. Nitrites does that. People that do salamis, the prosciuttos, et cetera, so forth, they use a product called Cure 2, which is sodium nitrate. The short-term stuff is sodium nitrite. What happens is during the process, all right, it's going to be hard to explain easily. Let me think here. What happens during the process is the sodium nitrate in the long term changes to nitrite, which changes to nitrous oxide, which gives you a cure on the meat. Characteristic red color, no matter if you cook it or not, it remains that way. It's a reaction with the hemoglobin and the proteins in the meat that do it. But at the same time, it's also toxic to the botulism organism. So if you're going to smoke your sausage, especially if you're going to smoke it hot, don't worry about it. If it's done in an hour or so, you don't need it. But if you're going to do the cold smoke and look to hang it and let it dry out and get that, let's say, salami-ish thing going on, you need to use cure.
Yeah. And otherwise, we have problems in that bacteria just wants to grow, and bacteria is bad, living is good. So, yeah, so when will that be out? Because you should probably do dynamite with that.
If the jerky cure is out now.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so they can get that from you now, again, by just contacting you online.
Amen.
All right.
I'll probably send you some of that in case you're not familiar with it.
Yeah, I know I told you I'm dying to play with bacon, and the slow smoking is definitely something I want to do. I take cheeses and do a little bit of that, you know, playing. And
I got a picture I got to send you.
Our
the smoker
cheese.
Gone wild one day with 5 pounds of cheddar. Oops.
Oh, and see, nobody can appreciate that until they have something like that go amok. And
it went
so, yes,
amok.
I would like to see that, Rich. I appreciate the fact that I'm not the only one that does things like going, I bet I could try this, and then, yeah, it goes amok. So, yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see cheddar run amok.
Somebody actually sent me back an email and said, that looks like art, dude. So that looks like 5 pounds of cheddar that I'll never get back.
Yeah, it's another, you know, I mean, I think all of us that get involved with cooking on the grills and smokers and everything else, there's just so many avenues that we can go and still learn something. So that's what makes it cool, too.
Well, any kind of cooking, yes. But my bent, obviously, has been barbecue and slow cooking and whatnot. And lately, sous vide. Are you familiar?
Well, we talked about this the other day, but I know we're going to run out of time here. Because I have
okay.
to, yeah. Just real, can you do that real quickly? Because we did talk real quickly about it.
Sous vide is basically you take a meat product or actually any product, and you vacuum seal it, and you put it in a water bath at a specific temperature for a specific amount of time. So let's say you want a steak at 135. That's where you set the bath at. You put the steak in. You season it beforehand. You pull it out. It's at 135, absolutely through the steak, and you give it a quick sear on perhaps the vortex. And my goodness, people, it's like butter.
But I'm gonna have to play with it because does it keep it nice and pink on the interior?
You have 1/16 inch of gray on either side where you seared it, and it's absolutely the same color all the way through, ma'am.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Yeah, see,
didn't
when
see
we were
picture?
Talking the other... Rich calls me after the chicken cooked the other night, and I was actually laying down. I said I was taking a nap, but I was stretching out before I put my big meats on. And if I had everything, I would have tried that because... I have not done anything like that, and I think that would be an innovative way to work almost any of these cookers, except maybe a gravity-fed. I think it would be difficult to do in a gravity-fed.
You wouldn't. No. You use a hot, quick fire to finish.
Yeah.
It's already cooked. That's all you want to do is get the Maillard on it. Maillard reaction. You're familiar with that, right?
Yes, and I will be looking to do that and then report back to you.
All righty.
All right. Hey, listen, Rich, I'm sorry to cut us off. I appreciate that you called in, and I want you to have a lovely night, but we're about to wrap it up here.
All right, sweetie. Thank you.
Okay, Rich. You take care.
Take care of yourself.
Okay. So that's Mad Hunky Meat Rich. None Your Business on Facebook. You can check him out. And definitely look into the poultry brine. Naked brine will be out real soon. I'm going to try the pork brine here coming up. And look at those list of products. He's got the Vortex, and again, you can go onto his page or check mine out in the pictures. You know, as we close up, I just want to remind you that Barbecue Superstars are here 6 nights a week. You'll have somebody on, as well as Daryl, 5 days a week during the day. And we're also building up the other channel network, Barbecue Superstar Network, so there's more things to choose from in archives. If you want to listen to the other shows, don't forget you can listen to everything in archives. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elzer. If you want 20% off of any of his products, use the code GODDESS. Again, it will not affect your school. So if you're going to school, don't try and scam Jim out of 20%. It ain't going to happen. Anyway, Mac Daddy Smokers out of Middleburg, Billy and the crew, they've got a bunch of stuff going and got a new cooker coming out they've already sold the first one. It's a little cube. It's cute, and they have bigger versions. But I'm telling you, I think I saw the price was $451. It would be something that would be great on everybody's back porch and an easy addition to your arsenal to carry to a competition because of the size. Also, Rec-Tec Grills, they're getting ready to come out with some things, so look for a couple announcements from Rec-Tec in August. Which I'll be looking forward to. Also, cookandpellets.com, Pirate 50, and Royal Oak. Appreciate all my sponsors and everything they do for me. I don't know if anybody who's doing Friday Night Lights this week, but Florida is got a couple weeks off. We'll be back for Live Oak. And I will be with you next Tuesday at my regular scheduled time, 7 o'clock. Appreciate everybody being with me tonight. Remember, keep on smoking. 4th of July is this weekend, so stay safe. And I know you'll be grilling, so get your grill on, get your bib on, and have a good time with fire and meat, and enjoy your family. Also, just want to say that July is National Alzheimer Awareness, and, you know, it's right up there with cancer, that there's hardly anybody that we know that hasn't been affected by it. And so my heart and thoughts go out to anybody that is battling those things. And with that, I'll leave you for the week. And again, enjoy your Independence Day. Stay safe out there. And good night, folks.